Anyone here this morning? I guess I wouldn't see you if you were not here. Although there are some who see me and they're not here. No, it's great to see everyone fellowshipping. That's a good sign of a good, healthy family and morning fellowship before Bible class. Now settle down and behave yourself. Let's begin this morning by turning over to number 244. 244. And I always request song leaders, please help me out. I'll lower that down. I'm a song starter, not a song leader. Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures. They will never pass away. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Amen. Thanks for your help. I could have used you, Vic. Thanks. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our God, our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this Lord's Day. Father, we're thankful for the freedom we share this morning to come together to study another portion of your word in this Bible class, to come together and worship you, our Father and our God, and sing praises to you. We're also thankful that we can be together to encourage one another, to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, and to love one another, that this world might know that we're your disciples, we're your followers. We pray that as we study another portion of your word this morning, you'll be with us. Help us, Father, as always, as we pray that we could take your word deep into our hearts and to our minds. We pray that it won't be choked out by the worries and the riches and the pleasures of this life, Father, but that your word might grow in within us and produce the fruit that you intend for it to produce. As the last day of this year, Father, we thank you for this past year. We thank you for the blessings of the past year, spiritually and physically. And Father, we also thank you for the trials and for the hardships of this past year. And help us see the ways that you could use those, Father, to make us better servants of yours. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And I forgot to pray for the coming year, but we pray for this coming year as well. God will continue to bless and continue to see more people come to know him and come into a relationship, a reconciled relationship with their Father in heaven. This morning's lesson focuses primarily on getting our hearts right, or faithful Christians keeping our hearts right before God. But I thought I'd also tie it in with, at the same time, you know, it's New Year's Eve, and just the concept of time. It's always the right time to get right with God. And of course, it's always a good time, hopefully not just at the end of the year, to commit ourselves to staying right with God if we're already walking with him. But many songs have been written about time. Poets have written about time. And there's a lot of philosophers who have philosophies concerning time and the passage of time. Life is filled with swift transition, as we just sang about. Some have said time stops for no man. I find that hard to debate. I think it's time doesn't seem to stop. It just keeps pressing on. Thank God the world keeps turning. The sun keeps coming up. We're thankful the sun came up this morning and we could be here together. How about the Steve Miller Band sings a song, Fly Like an Eagle? And one of the lines in that song is, time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. And, you know, just lyrics to a song, but certainly it's true. Time kind of ties in with time stops for no man. George Strait, one of my favorites, if not my all-time favorite, King George, the country singer. Anybody already know the song I'm going to refer to? Oh, I got you. Nobody? He sings a song, it's really touching, actually, Give Me More Time. And some of these songs are powerful. If you allow them to, they can cause you to think about life and time and how we're spending our time and how to better spend our time, perhaps in walking with the Lord and serving him and living to glorify him. But if nothing else, they're just entertaining songs. But as Christians, we're challenged to consider our limited time here on earth. And there's too many scriptures that I could refer to, but I picked out a few this morning. Starting with Ephesians 5 and verses 15 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 17. And then we'll be turning over and looking at Psalm 89, if you want to mark that in your Bible, verse 47. Very careful then how you live, Paul writes to the Ephesian Christians. And as a reminder for us this morning, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Another translation reads, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, as it goes with different translations, it's just saying the same thing, just with some different words. Notice the first part of the verse, be very careful in how you live, and then see then that ye walk circumspectly. Literally, that's like most exactly, or the most straightest path or way. Stay on the straight and narrow would kind of summarize what he's saying. It also carries the idea of looking ahead and thinking about what we're doing now and how that affects our future. So that's why there's the saying, hindsight is 20/20, right? If I would have known now, if I would have known then, if I would have known then what I know now, when I look back at some decisions in my life, maybe I would have done this differently, or I would have done that differently, because That's a good thing, actually, right? If we can look back with 2020 vision and God gives us some wisdom, maybe to learn some lessons, and we look back and say, well, if I would have known then what I know now, and then you ever hear somebody say, I wish I could go back and be maybe 17, 18 again, you know, making those decisions coming out of high school. I wish I could go back and make those decisions knowing what I know now. Well, it's wishful thinking. We can't. But we can take what we've learned to this point in our lives and walk circumspectly or live circumspectly. We can learn from the lessons of the past in our own life. Thank God, as Christians, we can also learn from the lessons of others and avoid a lot of pitfalls. We can avoid going back into a life of sin. We can find encouragement, inspiration, and wisdom to continue walking with the Lord and living a life that's faithful to Him and brings honor and glory to God. And so we don't, as one teacher put it, I'd like to give him credit, I can't remember who it was, you don't have to jump in every mud puddle in life, you know, to learn some of life's lessons. So you don't have to learn everything, his point was, by bad experiences and learning everything the hard way, right? We can learn from others. Redeeming the time. How about the idea of redeeming the time? That carries the idea of to purchase time back to ourselves. And it brought to mind a movie. It's been so many years ago, I could barely remember the movie, but it was Justin Timberlake, In Time. And it's science fiction, but one of the ideas was you could purchase back time. So it kind of highlighted the value of time, that our time on earth is limited. And time was purchased back at a very high price. And it was kind of a reminder not to waste your time, as it applies to us as Christians, not to waste our lives, you know, entangled in sin and as a slave to sin and involved in evil, but rather to live our lives, you know, to bring honor and glory to God, to bear the good fruit that He intends for us to bear in our lives. Any thoughts or comments from Ephesians 5, 15 through 17? Okay, moving on. Oh, Tommy.
So this is kind of an example story. Okay?
Yeah.
So to me, there's three kinds of people in the world.
Only three?
The first type, which is the highest level, will install a burglar alarm in their home when their neighbor gets broken into. The second type, the mid-level, will only install a burglar alarm in their home when they get broken into. And the third type will not ever install a burglar alarm at home, even if they get broken into. So that they're trying to learn from other people's mistakes, or learning from your own mistakes, or never learning from your own mistakes. Type of an example there. You know what I mean?
I like
looking
that.
To see what others have done. That's a mistake. I don't want to go there. I'm going to learn from that. I'm not going to have to get slapped in the face with that to learn from that. Just kind of having more perception about how things work.
Amen. I've been asked to kind of summarize the comments because some are watching from home. What Tommy, correct me if I'm wrong, I hope I remember this. He's basically saying three types of people or ways of thinking: to either learn from our own mistakes, learn from the mistakes of others, or some just never learn, right? And we hear that a lot of times. Person, they'll just never learn, right? Kind of exasperated. I have a hard time arguing with that, Tommy. Thank you for the comment. I'm going to remember that too for the when I teach about the Christ coming as the thief in the night, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Psalm 89 and verses 47 and 48 is a reminder that our time is limited. Remember how fleeting is my life. For what futility you have created all humanity. Who can live and not see death, or who can escape the power of the grave? It's God ultimately who determines our lifespan. Genesis 6 and verse 3 we read, "Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal, and their days will be 120 years. And there are different perspectives from different commentators. I kind of take it at its face value that at that time in history, God limited the lifespan of human beings. And then you see that happening in the Bible, so I think it's backed up with history and example. And plus, even now I see people living, or you hear about people living over to be over 100 years old. There's a sister in the church in Merced, and then we're privileged to worship and serve with her in Pengrove. She lived to be 106, right? Almost 107. And she was still going to services, by the way, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday up to 100 years old or close to 100 years old, when she could. And she was an inspiration, of course, just being there, by the way. Just like, wow, what's my excuse for not being at church, right, with the saints when she's at the age and all that she's lived through and seen, and she's still showing up whenever she can. But as it relates to the sermon, even with her long life, and it was so interesting to talk to her, her mind was sharp. She had been a Christian pretty much her whole life, and she talked about, you know, the history of the United States and the different wars she had lived through. And even with all she had lived through and as long as she lived, that's still a relatively short period of time, isn't it? Just even a century seems to go by fast. So James reminds us that our lives are like a mist here. James 4 and verses 14 and 15. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And there's, in this passage, a few lessons to learn, but a couple of them, you know, what you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? Well, I do believe God wants us to plan for tomorrow and not just live completely like tomorrow's not going to come, right? He wants us to use our foresight and do some planning and that kind of thing. But at the same time, James is reminding us, in the big picture, you don't know what will happen tomorrow. A lot of things are out of our control. We're not in control of what others do. I think I shared with you before, suddenly one of the elders in Pengrove was like killed in a car accident. He had lost his wife a year previous. And I think I shared this, but it was such a shocker. And then a drunk driver, you know, collision took his life. And it was just so tragic. But we're expecting him to be around another year or for a longer period of time. And yet he was gone. And so we don't want to be morbid or depressed, but we do want to take the lesson and the facts that James is laying out and live by the teaching that we don't know what will happen tomorrow. So make the most of today and get right with the Lord, stay right with the Lord. And in verse 15, he says, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And I think that addresses, you know, and challenges our pride. Like just to go on living as if tomorrow is going to come without acknowledging that God is in control, and it's only by his grace and mercy and by his blessing, really, that we draw every breath, and let alone the next day even being granted us, that all those are a gift from God, life itself, tomorrow, today. But then just pridefully going on as if all this is going to continue. Instead, James says, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. So it's humbling, and James is trying to teach the lesson to humble those he wrote to and us roughly 2,000 years later to acknowledge the Lord first and pray about his will. Go ahead, Tommy.
Say something.
Amen.
So those two things right there, I got, you know, grew up on it.
It was ingrained.
They're precious to me, but at the time they seemed a little bit old-fashioned. But now they're precious to me. So there you go.
Amen. Yeah. As they say, they ingrained it in you.
Yeah.
What Tommy mentioned was his parents emphasizing that Sunday was referred to as the Lord's Day, and rather than Sunday, with the emphasis being, this is the Lord's Day. This is when we take a break from work and we go to worship. I'm kind of adding to it, but right, Tommy?
Yep.
And go ahead, George. Amen. Yeah, it does directly tie in with storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Involves, like you mentioned, looking ahead and planning ahead. I'm not just trying to store up treasures here on earth and physical, material things, but also have in mind eternity, while at the same time walking in the present here in this world and on this earth. So I think we can only, you could... correct me if I'm wrong, I think this mentality in storing up treasures in heaven and the biblical wise teachings we're looking at this morning are really unique to Christianity. At least spending eternity with Christ and having that hope of spending eternity with Him. All these teachings are unique, you know, to Christianity. And we treasure these teachings, right? And we strive together to live according to the teachings of Christ in the New Testament. We often hear a person referred to as being good-hearted, right? Have you, man, they're such a good-hearted person. And it usually refers to the fact that they're generous, you know, and kind, or always have an encouraging word and things like that. And those are all great and good things. And I think in line with God's will and good fruit in our lives. But I thought I'd focus on some scriptures that focus on what God considers a quote-unquote good-hearted person. First of all, a heart that cries out to God. And again, you can't get all these scriptures into one lesson. But Psalm 27, and starting in verse 7. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. And of course, there's an example of a heart calling and crying out to God, be merciful to me. These are prayers that I believe were meant to, these are prayers of David for the most part in Psalms, but we're meant to learn from them and kind of make them our own prayer and follow his pattern of prayer. Hear my voice when I call. That's an example we could be reminded of as we start into 2024, to call and cry out to God, to pray to him and ask for him to listen. He's already promised us that he will listen, but he wants to hear from us, doesn't he? He does already know what's going on in our hearts and our minds and our lives. He knows what's going on in the world, but he wants to hear from us. He wants us to pray and call and cry out to him. In this case, the prayer is to be merciful to me and answer me. And we can call and cry out in 2024, hopefully every day of our lives as Christians, but good time to have a reminder at the end of one year and the start of another. Be merciful to us and please answer our prayer. Answer our prayer according to your will. You know, I'm laying out my requests and petitions before you, but I pray that your will be done and not my will, and following Christ's example. My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. It's another acknowledgement, you know, at the end of a year especially, look back over the previous year. We can only do so much of that in this Bible class. But we can each look back over this past year. Number one, thank God we're still alive. We're still among the living. We're still serving the Lord. We have, of course, more maturing and growth, and it appears God still wants us to use us to be a blessing to others. So a lot of great things there. But to reflect back over the previous year and think about, yes, all the blessings, all the positive things, but maybe some of the things we tend to think as negative. Or I'll speak for myself. I tend to think of painful things and circumstances and things that happen in my life as trials, as negative. I'm kind of black and white that way, I guess. You know, these are positive things, and then these other things that are painful, those are negative. But in James as well, we're challenged to count all the trials and the persecutions as a joy. So help me get there. I'm there sometimes. Sometimes I pray that prayer or make an acknowledgement, but my heart's not really into it. But it certainly is true. When we do pray through problems and depend on God through challenges and trials and persecution and depend on one another and the love for one another, I've seen that proven true in my own life. How about you? And it sure beats going back to the world and dealing with problems in the world's way, right? And it's much more effective and has a much better result to pray through problems, trust God, trust on the body of Christ and one another as Christians. And God has a way of bringing us out on the other side, doesn't he? Maybe just in time for the next trial a lot of times, right? It helps, too, to compare in a good way. Comparing isn't always good, but I look at some of the trials that Paul went through and then the early Christians and even now Christians around the world. And I say, wow, by comparison, my trials and my troubles are pale in comparison. You know, I look at Paul is just out there with a good heart, preaching the gospel, bringing the good news to people. And, you know, they stone him and leave him for dead. I'm like, that's not fair. He's just a faithful preacher. Out there trying to get people to believe in Christ. He's looking out for their eternity, and now he gets stoned out there and left for dead. Only God, it appears, is there to help him. That just doesn't seem right, does it? Does it seem right to you? It's not right, but that's the fallen world we live in. And then we know Paul was imprisoned just for doing what's right in God's eyes. And how about Stephen? He's preaching the gospel boldly. He's laying out that Old Testament history. And then, of course, Paul, before he became a Christian, was there condoning the stoning of Stephen. So at times, if you look at these trials, whether it's our own or these other trials and persecutions that others have gone through, whether it's the New Testament or the Old Testament prophets, from a strictly worldly point of view, it appears that God's people are losing. Right? If we look at the early church and Stephen's out there preaching, look, he's doing what God intended. He's obeying God's will. He's preaching the word. Just, it appears, just in a way that's acceptable to God and what he was saying and how he was saying it in a very respectful yet bold way. And look what happened. He's killed for it. But with our spiritual lens on, right? And I'm sure the Christians at that time may have questioned to a certain extent what's going on. Why is faithful Stephen, you know, a faithful player on the field, if you will? Why is he wiped out? Why is he taken away from us? We need Stephen, right? Well, we're still learning from Stephen's example 2,000 years later. So from when we're able to see God's perspective and put on our spiritual lens, we see the blessing and what God was, the good that God was working in the circumstance. Jesus promised to reward the seeking heart. Matthew 7 and verses 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Jesus himself said, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Now, it's kind of a broad teaching, isn't it? I mean, it does narrow it down to asking, seeking, and knocking. But he's talking about asking, seeking, and knocking, and seeking God, and seeking out God's will for your life. And then there's this great promise in verse 8 that everyone who asks receives. When you're seeking and sincerely trying to seek out God and his will for your life, you'll find it. And this promise that the one who knocks, the door will be open. Aren't those great promises? What if it was, whoever asks, you're not going to get what you asked for? Just think of the opposite for a minute. The one who seeks, you're never going to find what you're looking for. There is a song about that too, right? It's not in my notes, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
You too?
Thank you, Tommy. People could relate to it. That's in part why it's so popular, right? So yeah, what if it read, you're going to seek and you can seek all you want, but you'll never find. And then you can knock all you want and bang on the door, even try to kick down the door, but the door will never be open to you. How discouraging that would be, right? But thank God we have these great and precious promises. And then the other scripture that came to mind and related to this is Revelation 3 and verses 19 through 22. Because this is talking about asking, seeking, and knocking in Matthew 7:7-8. But then we're also told that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. He stands at the door of our heart and our lives and knocks. And it's up to us to open the door from the inside. Right? Those whom I love, I reprove and I discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. By the way, that's going to tie in with the sermon later this morning. Those whom I love, I reprove and I discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Number one, that God's discipline, so many times, again, I'll speak for myself, I didn't really see it as love. I thought anything that's painful can't be love. But we're told in Hebrews, God disciplines those he loves, and it can be painful at times. But he has good intentions that go along with that painful discipline. How about it? But thank God, that's an expression of his love. In one way, he disciplines us, or expresses his love toward us. I reprove and discipline, therefore be zealous and repent. So many times his discipline, maybe it's going to jail. Maybe it's running into trouble with the law. Maybe our temper gets us in some kind of trouble. Maybe gets us fired. Or some kind of discipline at work. Maybe jealousy, envy, or some other sin is getting us in trouble in life. And it appears that discipline is just coming from the civil authorities, and it is. But ultimately, that's God's discipline, right? Maybe he's using the civil authorities in a loving way to bring about repentance, a change of heart and a change of mind in a different way of seeing life and seeing things. Right? And he's just trying to get people to heed the call to wake up for their own good. And so many times for the good of others, right? Who may be hurt or suffering from their sin and what they're doing. So we give the Lord room to work in that way as well, loving us through his discipline. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. Now we'll pause there for a minute. Someone pointed out, maybe it was while at preaching school or whatever, the painting, and it's a famous painting with Jesus standing at the door, outside the door and knocking. Have you seen that painting or that image or picture? And it was pointed out to me, I never noticed it before. I don't know if I was even aware of the picture before, but there's no door handle on the outside of the door, as like you would normally have. And of course, it's obvious. He's not going to just open the door and barge in. There's not even a door handle there. But his desire is for the one on the inside to open the door of their house or their life and their heart to him. And, it's a reminder that God has created us with a choice and with volition. And God has done all that he's done in the past, all that he's done presently to express his love for us, ultimately in sending his son to die for us, and all that that provides, forgiveness and the hope of spending eternity with him, and peace that surpasses all understanding for the short time we're here. But he still created people with a will, and it's up to the individual to open that door and allow him to come in, right? And perhaps as we look back on our own life, God was frustrated with us for a time, as perhaps he was knocking from the outside and we weren't letting him in. I think most of you here this morning have let Christ into your life. But perhaps he's knocking on the door of some other lives of people we know. And God will use us to help them make that decision to allow him to come in to their life. It's frustrating on our part for loved ones, too, who may be refusing to let him in. But maybe God will keep using, not maybe, I know he will, keep using us to encourage people to open that door, open your heart, and let Christ into your life. And consider God's will for your life. But always remembering, we didn't create people and human beings the way they are. God did, right? And he created them and us with a will. Go ahead.
Even for those of us who have let Christ into our heart, you know, when he knocked, that's something we need to do continually. It's not a one-time thing. And that verse in Revelation where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," that's written to Christians.
Good point. Amen. For those watching from home, Pat mentioned and reminded us that this is written to Christians. And so even as Christians, we're challenged. And primarily it's written to Christians, and the lesson is for Christians to open the door on a continual basis, keep him in our hearts and allow him to come into our hearts. Does that summarize okay, Pat? Thank you for that. Amen.
Bring him in. So too much willful sin, and you're asking him to come in, it seems kind of contradictory.
Amen. Yeah, I think it's easy, speaking for myself again, you know, I start watching too much of the news and just living in the world, being around the world coming in through the news or the radio, and I can feel it now. It's like, oh, I'm letting too much of the world in, and I haven't been allowing enough of God's word and his will into my heart and my mind, maybe this week or today, or if it's a longer period of time. In a way, that's a good thing, that we're still sensitive to the fact that, wow, I'm allowing and can recognize I'm letting too much of the world in. I can feel it. It's affecting me, right? It's affecting my relationship and my closeness in my walk with the Lord. I got to get back on track here and make time for that quiet time again, right? That prayer time and time alone with God. He says, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. And I didn't really repeat what Tommy had said, is if we have too much willful sin in our life or sin that's left undealt with, then there may not be any room for him to come in, or he doesn't want to and cannot fellowship with us. Because this speaks to fellowship with God and fellowship with Christ. I will come to him and will dine with him and he with me. That speaks to fellowship and agreement with one another, right? When we're dining with one another and enjoying it. I realize there may be some relatives that come over the holidays. We don't, you know, we dine together, but maybe not enjoy it with them as we do with others. That's okay. I think it's okay. As long as we keep feeding them, you don't have to kick them away from the dinner table or anything. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is encouraging and inspiring, and I believe Jesus intends it to be for Christians, that to remember that he overcame. Yes, he was the Son of God, but he came to this world. He became human like we are, and he was tempted in every way just as we are, and yet he was without sin. And with his help, we can put to death sin in our lives. It may not mean that we're never going to sin again in our life until we go on to be with him, but we will sin less, right? We may never be sinless, but we will sin less when we allow him to come in, when we allow his word to work in our lives and put to death the sinful nature and allow the fruits of the Spirit to come to fruition. We can overcome. He's encouraging us just as he overcame. We can overcome sin. We can overcome evil with doing good in part. And eventually we can overcome death just as he did. Maybe not physical death unless he comes first. But that's our great hope of eternal life, that we overcome man's greatest enemies, Satan, sin, and death. Amen. That's the good news, the core good news of the gospel. But along with that, we get fellowship with God and fellowship with one another and encouragement in the church. And all those are bonuses, right? And then he says in verse 22, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And I think it's a challenge for myself and a challenge for us, the end of 2023 and starting 2024. Think about what we're going to turn our ear to. And what will I primarily be listening to in 2024? Am I primarily listening to the news and just soaking that in? And they are facts of what's going on around the world as far as the wars that are going on. Not denying it, but is that all I'm going to listen to? Or primarily listen to? Am I only going to primarily listen to George Strait? Or am I going to be spending more time listening to God's word, right? And staying in touch and in tune with his will as revealed through his word? That's a challenging question for all of us. But we get to kind of recommit ourselves and resubmit ourselves to listening to God primarily and staying on the same page with him. And then we'll be celebrating again at the end of 2024, Lord willing, as Tommy pointed out, right? On the last Lord's Day of 2024, we'll be looking back again at the trials, yes, the persecutions, the hardships, as well as all the blessings of 2024. But even more so when we keep our ear tuned in to him and listen to what he has to say. Any thoughts or comments?
Psalm 121, and I'll just read the last three verses. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forever.
Amen. I like that it ties in with God's unchanging hand, too, that he's never changing and always there for us. Well, that's all the time we have this morning. Thank you for your participation and your thoughts and your attention. God bless in 2024. If tomorrow comes.